So as we think about this trading wishing for prayer, a few things that we're going to be looking at. The first question that we have for us is, what are you wishing for? What are you wishing for? We all have things that we would desire. Our heart yearns after certain things. And so as you think about that question, maybe you are someone who wishes for more money or financial security. Here we've got a wheelbarrow load of cash there, more money than you know what to do with. Or maybe you are, instead of thinking of your own needs there, maybe you're one of these idealist people out there and you are wishing for world peace. So that's always a popular one, isn't it? A couple other things that people often will wish for. Success. You've climbed the mountain, you reached the top, you have fulfilled all of your potential, and you know what it means to experience success. Or maybe it's romance and love and having that perfect relationship and that perfect wedding. And this morning at our house, the say yes to the dress was on, and just that, get the perfect dress and the perfect day and the perfect all of that kind of stuff. You know, there's actually people that study these kind of things. There was a poll that was conducted in 2011 of 1,200 British people. And these Brits responded the top 10 most popular wishes there. So number one, we've already seen this one up there, £1 million. So that, of course, money always seems to come to the top, huh? Number two, believe it or not, an iPad. Go figure. Number three, the idealists come in. World peace comes in at number three. Number four was to be famous. Number five was cosmetic surgery. Number six, a sports car. Number seven, a mansion. Number eight, meet a celebrity, as though that would fulfill your life. Number nine would be to start your own business. And all of you small business owners out there are laughing to yourself. It's not so easy. Number 10 would be to own a designer wardrobe. So these are the top 10 wishes that came up in this poll back in 2011. So wishing, we see the different ideas that come out when we begin to ask people, really, what are you wishing for? And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the difference between wishing and prayer, when it comes to the differences between wishing and prayer, we want to look a little bit at that. How are these things different? How should we understand it? And so I want to go back to 1940. Personally, don't remember it. Some of you may. In 1940, there was a movie came out that has greatly influenced our cultural understanding of wishing. And by that, I think it's probably influenced our understanding of prayer as well, because in our country, because I think there's a lot of people that confuse the two. So those of you racking your brains of 1940 film, any guesses out there of what movie that would have something about wishing came out in 1940? Nope. Not It's a Wonderful Life. That's a good guess. Love that. Your children probably know it really well. Your grandchildren probably know it really well. Yeah? No, not Wizard of Oz. Pinocchio! There it is. Pinocchio. And now you're wondering, what on earth does Pinocchio have to do with wishing? Well, there happens to be a song that debuted in the movie Pinocchio that was written specifically for the song called When You Wish Upon a Star. It is. It's a great little song. It's a cute song. And now that song has become so famous, it's almost the trademark of the Walt Disney Company. And we hear the little stanza of that song everywhere you go. If you do anything Disney, of course, I have children, so we hear it. I want to read for you a few lines from that song. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do. Fate is kind, she brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. And there's a few other stanzas, but you get the idea of what that song is trying to convey to us and how that song has influenced our understanding of wishing and whatnot and what we would think or deserve or ask for. So a few things that come out of that of what is wishing? What is about? What is the nature of wishing? So a couple of thoughts that we want to have there. First is that when it comes to wishing, it is void of relationship. Wishing in and of itself is void of relationship. You saw, or you heard in the last line there, fate is kind and brings to those the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Fate. What do we wish to? We wish upon, well, we wish upon a star. We talked about that. We wish on birthday candles, right? We have wishing wells. We wish on dandelions that we blow into dad's grass that's perfectly manicured and he gets mad at us. All of these different things that we wish on. In fact, in doing some research on this, I found a website that you can go onto, and they promise that if you come back 8 days in a row, that your wish that you submit on their website will come true. So you can wish on a website. This is 2013, after all. But it takes absolutely no relationship to make a wish. There's no interaction, there's no nothing. It's just this something that we're wishing on. And it's not a personal relationship. Number two about wishing, it seeks personal desires. Now, I know there's a few idealists out here who would agree with the wishing for world peace. But let's go back to those nine things that we read, or 10 things. Nine of the 10 that were the top wishes were selfish, were self-centered wishes. So yes, you may be the 10% that are the idealist, but the reality is that when it comes to wishes, we think primarily of ourselves and what would benefit us as people. It wishes, or it seeks personal desires. Anything your heart desires, right? The sweet fulfillment of your secret longing. I want to assure you that as good as it sounds, you don't want every desire of your heart to come true. Those sweet longings that you have at certain points, it would be rather dangerous at times if some of those came true. If the desires of my heart when I'm driving were to come true, there are a lot of people that would probably end up rather hurt. Or we might even think of the desires of an evil heart, which we all have brokenness inside of us. And we all can desire wrong for other people, but especially those who are very, very bent on revenge and wrong, that would desire something evil, maybe for even one of us sitting here. That there may be someone who has it out for you, and the desire of their heart is something very bad for you. So I don't think we really want every desire of our heart, every secret longing, to come true. Third thing is that it ignores personal character. Wishing ignores personal character. The line says, makes no difference who you are. Now, on the one hand, we're, by and large, there may be a few here that are not American. Maybe we have some international travelers among us. But as Americans, we have this ideal egalitarian concept of everybody being treated equal. And so this idea of makes no difference who you are sounds at first really, really good. But when you think about wishing here, and that it makes no difference who you are, and you get the desires of your heart. Again, there's some people in this world that I don't think we want them to get the desires of their heart. And there may be some people out there that wouldn't want us to get the desires of our heart. Because not always are those desires something that is good, or is good for others, or is even good for us. And so while I may want the desires of my heart to come true, there are some genuinely evil or wicked or people that hate what I believe, what I stand for, that hate the country that I live in, that hate the values that I stand for, that would want to seek and hurt and destroy that. But when it comes to wishing, personal character is out the door. It really makes no difference, does it? Now, in comparison to that, or in opposition to that, you might say, is prayer. So prayer, instead of ignoring personal relationship or being void of personal relationship, prayer actually flows out of a relationship. It flows out of a relationship. Matthew 6:8 says, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So when we wish on something out there that we really have no relationship with. But when we pray to one who knows us so intimately that knows even what we need before we ask, or even if what we ask is what we really need, and knows those so intimately that He invites us to call Him Father. Now, you may be wondering, well, if He knows all of that, and He knows before I ask, why do I bother asking? What difference does it make? Why do I do that? Well, one of the things I've learned as a father is, yes, there may be times where I know what my children need, and yet it still brings me joy when they come and ask their dad for it. Because what are they doing? They are coming and they're communicating that, I love you, Dad, and I am trusting in you for good things for me. And so it delights my heart as a father to have my children come and ask me. And then there are other times where it annoys me because they've asked me over and over and over and over again. But you get the idea. It brings joy to God when we express our dependency on Him for these good things. So for prayer, it flows out of relationship that we have with God. The next thing is that instead of seeking personal desires, prayer always will seek God's will. It will always seek God's will. Continuing in Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "Therefore, you should pray like this," and this is Jesus' instruction to us. "Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the way Jesus taught His followers to pray is not to pray that my own will is done, but that God's will would be done. Now, does that mean that I can't ever express a desire to God? That I can't ever ask for something that would be of personal benefit to me? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means ultimately, if I am really praying, if what I'm doing is genuinely prayer, then it will seek after God's will, because I believe that whatever God's will for my life is what would be best. And so it's often wise to maybe qualify something of, Lord, if it be your will, or if it's your will, Lord. Now, that doesn't make that a magic formula, that if you add those words that God's going to answer your prayer the way you want more often than not. But it's that reminder to us that God's will is the priority. That God's will comes first. Because what I think God's will might be, or what my will is often broken. And I have a flawed understanding of that. But God's will and God's understanding of that is perfect. And so it's a reminder for me that God's will comes first, but then it is also that message to God that I am submitting to your will, God. I am dependent upon you, and I am going to come into submission to you as not just my Father, but my Lord, and that you are in charge of my life. Now, if what we say that we are doing is prayer and it's not seeking God's will, may I submit to you that that's probably not genuinely prayer. That's probably wishing. If it's a very self-focused thing. So even when we are genuinely expressing desires and things that would benefit us, and they are good things, ultimately prayer seeks God's will. And so we submit that with that understanding that God's will, even if it's difficult, even if it's not what I think is right in that moment, is far better for me. Third thing is that prayer is affected by our character. Men, buckle your seatbelts here on this one. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." So men, have you ever considered the fact that the way in which you treat your wives has an impact on your relationship and your conversation with God? Peter seems to indicate to us that that is the case. Now, again, I caution you. Men, this does not mean the motive for being kind to your wives is so you get everything that you want from God. And wives, let me caution you, when you guys are in conflict, that is not the time to bring this verse up. But there is a deep understanding and principle here that I think we all resonate with. And it goes beyond marriage. It speaks to the way we treat one another in relationship. That we cannot treat other people like garbage and expect God to answer our prayers. I don't think we want a God that answers our prayers in the way that we would want them, while at the same time that person can treat other people as something less than human. And I think that's really what Peter is getting at. Is that yes, the way we interact with others, the way we treat others, there are some ethical expectations that God has of his children. And so, yes, there is going to be an impact on our relationship with him, on our conversation with him, and that may be a delay in something that we are asking for God. It may be a response that would not necessarily be pleasing to us, because what is more important in that moment? God's will. And what would God's will be? That you treat that other person the way that God would have you to treat them. And that's so much greater than the specific material thing or blessing that you're specifically asking for at that point. Because God's more concerned with developing your character than giving you toys. Do we see that? And then we come to James 5:16, where it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So again, we see from Scripture there seems to be this connection between our character and the effectiveness of our prayer life. Now again, I want to caution you, don't take this too far in thinking that God has a higher caste of people that get their prayers answered more than others. I get accused of that a lot. If I'm at a dinner table, everybody kind of like, "Hey, you're a pastor, why don't you pray for dinner?" It's not going to taste any better just because a pastor prayed for it. The reality is that our righteousness is in Christ. And so we are all fully righteous as believers in Christ. So when we say the prayer of a righteous person, we're not talking about the prayer of a perfect person. Jesus was the only one that would fit that category. The prayer of a righteous person would be the prayer of a person who is submitted to God and is walking with Jesus. And those people have effective prayer lives. I think that's what James is trying to communicate to us. So yes, is your relationship with Christ and the how much you are walking with Jesus have an impact on your prayer life? Yes, I believe it does. But that doesn't mean that you then again get everything that your heart desires. And we'll get to a little bit more on that as we talk about the superiority of prayer. Our last section here, the superiority of prayer. So we compared wishing and prayer. And so in case you were wondering, let me relieve the tension. Prayer is far better. That's why we're calling it superior here. So if you would like to discuss, like Kelly said, you can discuss creation with him. I'd be happy to debate with you afterwards whether wishing or prayer is better. But for now, go with me that it's superior. Couple of verses here we want to look at. First, out of James again, James 4, 1 to 3. James is writing to this group of believers and says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Now, James wrote that in the first century. I think there, James is probably looking at America in the 21st century there. Because we're just spoiled rotten. The reality is that in our prayer lives, our motives are not necessarily always going to be pure. Because again, we're broken. We are sinful. Okay, there are times where the desires of our heart are not necessarily a good thing. There are many times where they are and they're submitted to God, but there are other times where they're not. And so believe it or not, one of the reasons why prayer is superior is that sometimes the answer is no. That makes it far superior than the stories we hear about wishing, where somebody gets what they wish for, even though it was a bad thing for them. When we like the moral that they learn in the end, that their life was far better than they thought it was, but the reality is they got something that hurt them. God would never give us something that would actually be the worst thing for us. It might be a difficult lesson, and we might experience some pain in the short run, but in the end, it'll be far greater for us. So prayer is superior there because sometimes the answer is no, because God knows our heart, he knows our motives, and he does know what is best for us. 1 John 5, 14 to 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Again, God's will is included in this understanding of our prayer life, of bringing these requests to God. So prayer is superior because when what we ask is in line with God's will, we have a guarantee that God will answer and fulfill that request. God has made that clear here, that because of that relationship with a sovereign God who is in control over all of this, that we pray to one who has the power and authority to bring it about. I hate to say it, but birthday candles have no power and authority to affect change in our lives other than reminding us how old we are. I know I'm crushing you guys, your hopes and dreams there, but God is the one who does. And he has promised that as long as it is in line with his will, because his will is best for us, we have a guarantee that he will answer that. And then Philippians 4, 6 to 7. And I think this is the big thing that we all would desire. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God." Sometimes we read verse 6 and we don't read verse 7. But in verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I know the wishes for world peace were not number one on the list. But when it comes down to it, we all would desire that, wouldn't we? We would love to live in a world where there is peace. Now, God has said that is coming. But here we see in Philippians 4 the route to that. Because you cannot have world peace if you do not have personal peace. So world peace would flow from the fact that every individual on earth had personal peace. Personal peace with God, personal peace with others. What is the route to that? The route to that is prayer. Is submitting ourselves to God, giving those desires, those needs, those concerns, all of that over to God, and then trusting in that sovereign God to take care of us. That is the route to personal peace. That's what the scriptures tell us. And I want to believe that if there were enough people that were practicing that and receiving personal peace from God through their relationship with Jesus Christ, that we would see peace here in this community, that we would see peace in this country, that we would see peace in this world. So it is far superior because ultimately it brings peace. It brings peace in our lives and in God's creation. Now, in your bulletins, you may have noticed something a little bit extra that isn't often there. So if this is your first time here at Peninsula Baptist, there's not always that little card in there. So this is a special treat that you're here for. So I want you to grab that card. If you got a bulletin, now many of you are regularly part here of Peninsula Baptist have been receiving prayer cards over the last year from our pastors and elders of just a note that we're praying for you. If you haven't, that doesn't mean we're not praying for you. It just means we only get so many cards sent out each week. And it's just a simple card like this. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, we could have a nice message about praying and the importance of prayer and why prayer is good. But how do we act on that? What do we do about it? And so this card is a reminder for you to be praying for someone else, but then to go a step beyond that and to send them a card and to say, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Just an encouragement that I'm praying for you. And just an opportunity for you to do that. Now, I know not every individual picked up a bulletin. Some of you got one per family and stuff like that. So I will mention, there are more of the cards out at the Welcome Center in the foyer. You're welcome to grab one if you didn't get one. But I want to encourage you this week, ask God, who would you have me pray for? And who is God burdening your heart to pray for? And then pray for them. And then sign a note and send the card to them. Because that's one of the most encouraging things is when we get a card from somebody that says that they're praying for us. Because we know that means they're seeking God's absolute best for us. Now, you may not know exactly how to pray for them. But if you look at that verse in there, it will probably read something like this. It says, and this is my prayer, these are Paul's words, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. You can pray those verses for anybody. You don't have to know what's going on in their life. You don't have to know what issues or challenges or struggles or joys that they're experiencing right now. That prayer is applicable and appropriate to every single person. Because what Paul says here is he says, I am praying that you would grow in love in your relationship with God and with others, that it would abound more and more. That applies to any of us. And then that we would be able to discern what is best. Wisdom, discernment of what is good in our lives. How many of us don't need more of that? We all could use more of that. And then the last, a desire that we would be pure and blameless, that we would, in our obedience, walk closely with God, that we would be able to avoid sin, that we would resist temptation and all of these things. Do we not need somebody praying along those lines for us? Now, if you do know a specific thing to pray for them, absolutely. Pray that specific way for them. But God may put somebody on your heart and you have no idea what's going on in their life, no idea how to pray for them. You can pray these verses for them. Anytime you want to pray for somebody, these verses are appropriate and applicable. So that's just your challenge before you this week, is to remember to pray for somebody and send this card to them to let them know that you're praying for them. Let's pray.